This should be played at high volume. Welcome to Out of Pocket. Here's your host, Michael Davis.
Welcome to Out of Pocket with Michael Davis on Tobacco Road Sports Radio and TobaccoRoadSportsRadio.com. And I guess this is officially your TGI Friday lineup. I'm joined by Peyton Burton from Everything College Basketball. I'm joined by Carson. I'm sure his Carsonites are going to run wild in the YouTube chat. You can have your comments pop up on our YouTube feed right now. And joined by producer Desmond Johnson. We do have breaking news that broke right at the beginning of the hour, so like 20 minutes ago. So we'll get into that here in just a moment. But the wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR, is now live in North Carolina. Now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports anytime, anywhere, right here in North Carolina with DraftKings. For a limited time, new customers who sign up with promo code TOBACCOROAD and bet $5 will receive $250 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings has the best features, including same-game parlays, player props, and more with fast and easy payouts right at your fingertips. We've been talking all week about the Food City 500 this Sunday, and you can bet on the race winner. You can bet on top three, top five. Currently, Denny Hamlin is set at plus 475 to win the race. Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell at plus 500. You can even go as far down as Martin Truex Jr. at plus 1800. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code TOBACCOROAD and bet $5 to get $250 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code TOBACCOROAD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license. As I mentioned, we have breaking news at the beginning of Out of Pocket, so we've had to shuffle some things around. But all-pro defensive tackle for the Los Angeles Rams and former Super Bowl champion Aaron Donald has retired. That was some big breaking news at the beginning of the show. I want some initial thoughts because this is super fresh. Carson, welcome back to the show. What was your initial reaction to Aaron Donald announcing his retirement?
It's insane. I mean, I don't think that anybody really expected it. And Aaron Donald is one of the greatest defensive players that this game has ever seen. You know, how is this going to affect the Rams? Like, obviously it's going to be a big hit. And the Rams weren't really in contention for anything, but I mean, it's just sad for the game of football, you know, and for it to just be so sudden like this, it's really sad, and he's going to be missed everywhere.
Yeah, big loss for the Rams. Peyton, I know you're a basketball guy. You do Everything College Basketball with Josh Burton. I've had Josh on Drop the Mic a few times. You guys do really good stuff. What do you think of Aaron Donald's retirement?
Definitely caught me out of left field. I did not expect that. Once I got the news on ESPN, the notification popped up. I was a little bit shocked behind it, but great career. And I'll tell you what, he just made a lot of offensive linemen very, very happy to not have to deal with him anymore. What a career. He's one of the best of all time. Definitely one of probably the best in my generation of defensive tackles. Great career, and I hope he has a great future ahead of him.
Especially those in the division. I know Shannon popped up here on a comment talking about Duke NC State. We'll get into that later. I'm trying to push you off as best as I can and delay the pain right there. 99 will always be remembered by those offensive linemen. What do you say, Dez?
I wasn't that surprised, actually. He's been kind of hinting at retirement since they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So I've been kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I just didn't know when it would actually go down. And then they extended him right after that Super Bowl. So I figured once that guaranteed money started to run out, then he would start thinking about this again. It feels like this generation, the ones that are like the all-time greats, they retire young. Like they get mm-hmm. out before their knees are blown or they can't remember anything or they've suffered some kind of whatever it might be. From Patrick Willis retired early, Luke Kuechly retired early, Aaron Donald's now retiring early. It just feels like there's more medical information available to these players to allow them, and money to allow them, to retire early and comfortably. So I'm happy for him that he didn't have to play an extra 4 years just to make sure he had money when he retired or whatnot. I think Aaron Donald's going to be okay when it comes to money and whatever he decides to do going forward. But yeah, you're right. That kind of opens up the NFC West a little bit because the Rams went on a run at the end of last year a little bit and were starting to put some things together. And now they got a huge hole to fill on the defensive line that they're not going to be able to fill. So the NFC West kind of opened back up again a little bit.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Aaron Donald finishes up with 111 career sacks, and he had a huge year back in 2018, 20 and a half sacks for an interior defensive lineman. Ridiculous. Is unheard of. Like, he's unguardable. He was unguardable.
Yeah, he's a first ballot All-Pro. I mean, not all, first ballot All-Pro, first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think there's going to be any question about it. 5 years from now, he'll be going into Canton.
Which is impressive in the Football Hall of Fame, because the Football Hall of Fame is a lot harder than, say, like the basketball. So, but yeah, he is. He's first ballot.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of first ballot Hall of Famers in the NFL. Julius Peppers is one this year going in, and he's top four all time in sacks. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Aaron Donald's going to get in first ballot in 5 years. So, just shout out to 99.
Hey, well-deserved. He turns 33 in a couple months, and in a few years, he will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. A few other NFL news broke as well. The Kansas City Chiefs, we talked about them a little bit yesterday. They signed Hollywood Brown from the Cardinals. Peyton, the Chiefs get richer and richer. How many weapons do they need to add to actually, like, compete? This could actually help replace the productivity that Tyreek Hill left the team a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. It doesn't matter. The rich gets richer. They seem to have the winning formula down pat right now. Patrick Mahomes with Travis Kelce. That's really the only two guys they really need. And obviously Andy Reid coaching them. It doesn't really matter who the receiving core is, whether it's Tyreek Hill, whether it's MVS, or whether it's Hollywood Brown. It really doesn't matter. They're going to consistently win, whether it's in the regular season or during the Super Bowl time. They're going to figure it out. And Marquise Brown is a great receiver, and he's going to figure it out down there, and they're going to get him to a system where he can shine by, and they're going to win more games with probably what they won this year.
Yeah, they're looking for the three-peat right now, and, you know, we mentioned receiving core. The Los Angeles Chargers, with Jim Harbaugh coming in, is basically starting fresh right now. Austin Eckler mm-hmm. leaves, goes to Washington as your running back, and then the Chargers release Mike Williams, and then they trade Keenan Allen late last night to, of all teams, the Chicago Bears. Carson, this was this feels like a full rebuild when you like start, you know, dismissing your pieces like that. But mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh, he's wanting to win now, I'm sure.
I mean, he's not going to. It doesn't really matter. I mean, of course he wants to win now, but he's got – I mean, their best receiver is, what, Quentin Johnston? And I don't think that he really should be in the NFL. I mean, like, they have nobody, and I don't really understand where they're going to go. They gave up Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick to the Bears. Like, you could have got better value for that. And I got to tell you, I'm scared of the Bears. As a Packers fan, I'm worried about the Bears. You're going to get Caleb Williams. They have DeAndre Swift, who I think was underrated. I love DeAndre Swift. And then they already have a good defense with Montrez Sweat and Jalen Johnson. And they're probably going to get Rome Odunze. Is that how you say his name? I'm not sure. But
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and now you add Keenan Allen, and you already have DJ Moore, who I think is a legit wide receiver one. The Bears are really good. Like, they're going to be really good. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think that Packers will win the division. But I know that it's – and I'm a Packers fan. I know it's same old Bears, but I'm worried about them.
Quit lying. No, you're not. Stop that. Stop that. It's the Bears. It's Chicago Bears. It doesn't matter who they have on their team.
Name one quarterback that's ever been great in a Chicago Bears uniform. Just one. Excluding Jim McMahon.
No, well, nobody ever. Jordan Love is going to be any different.
This is where quarterbacks go to die. This is where wide receivers go to die. It's Chicago. Like, you don't have anything to worry about, man. The Packers are going to come up. Like, the Bears are like 3 years behind y'all. Like, they don't even know what to do with Justin Fields. Like, at this point, like, it looks like he's just still be on the team.
I like Justin Fields more than most people. I am a Justin Fields believer. I don't think that he's better than Caleb Williams. I would have loved to seen him on like Atlanta. I think you put a lot of pieces around him and he's going to be pretty good. He's not really an elevator, but I think that he can hang with him when you put a lot of pieces around him. I just, what's the hole in the Bears team right now?
The Bears.
Yeah, they're the Bears. The Bears will have issues on their offensive line. The defense needs some work still. Your quarterback's going to be a rookie if you're basing all this on Caleb Williams, and you're in a division where the Packers are loaded and they're super young, and Detroit is loaded. So Minnesota's kind of taking a step back, but they've been treading water for a couple of years now anyway. Like, I think Chicago's just a couple of years away. They still need some more Carolina's draft picks, I guess, to to get their roster straight. But I wouldn't worry about Chicago this year. Like, I would worry more about Detroit than I would Chicago.
I think you guys are sleeping. I think you're all sleeping. I mean, I think Bears have the better receiving core than the Packers, and I love the Packers receiving core, but I'm taking Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I'm obviously taking Jordan Love. And right now, with Jaire being hurt all the time, I might be taking their secondary with Jalen Johnson. I love the Xavier McKinney pickup, but I'm worried. I really am.
You know why Keenan Allen's in Chicago? Because he can never finish a full season in in LA. When was the last year he played a full season? Same with Mike Williams. That's why they're both gone. And they're both older. They're both older wide receivers. I love Keenan Allen to death. He played high school football here at Northern Guilford. I covered him here. Always wanted him to come back home to the Carolinas, but they just haven't been able to stay on the field. So I don't know. I don't buy that. That's kind of out of pocket take, Carson, but this is the show for it. So we'll see what happens.
And you mentioned like Chicago has such uncertainty with the quarterback position. Mouthing off with Mike Neely was on Out of Pocket earlier this week. He said Chicago going Chicago. Our YouTube's blowing up right now. You can comment and have your thoughts pop up on Out of Pocket with Michael Davis on the YouTube feed. But we don't know what Chicago is going to do at quarterback. Are they going to take Caleb Williams number one? One thing I do want to point out is don't be surprised if Justin Fields gets traded to the Denver Broncos. I called it a few weeks ago on one of my articles in Fans First Sports Network. The Broncos cut ties with Russell Wilson, went to Atlanta, and there's still a hole in Denver. And we actually saw a trade with a quarterback last night, Sam Howell, former UNC Tar Heel. We were talking about him on the show yesterday, I believe. He got traded to Drake May,
yeah, which was completely out of pocket. Totally different player.
Once you get a feel for like what product actually comes out of a school, like UNC, you know, can produce basketball players sometimes. I mean,
yeah, they can.
At least in the nineties. Shut up.
Let's get to it. What you holding on for? Let's get to it. Come on, man. Last night.
Well, before we do, I do want your thoughts on Sam Howell. It apparently looks like he's going to be the backup to Geno Smith in Seattle. Dez, you like your UNC players. Just go ahead and get it out of the way. So,
I mean, I don't like him just because he went to UNC. Like, Howell's a decent quarterback. He got sacked more than any other quarterback in the league last year behind Washington's offensive line and still threw for over 3,000 yards. Like, he's going to a better situation in Seattle. I've never been completely sold on Geno Smith. I know he just got a bag from Seattle last year, but I think a lot of that honestly was due to Dave Canales working with him during that stretch, and he didn't look the same last year without him. So I don't know. We'll see. But for Sam, I'm just glad he's getting an opportunity to compete, because I don't think that starting position is completely locked with Geno Smith. I don't think they're completely beholden to him. And didn't Pete Carroll retire? Or they moved on from him? Who's the new head coach in Seattle now?
Mike McDonald from the Baltimore Ravens.
He's not attached to Geno Smith. He's brand new. So this could be a competition going into August. So let's just see what happens. But yeah, I'm not just blindly cheering on Sam Howell because he played for Carolina for a couple of years. That's not how it works. That's not working at all.
Well, at least Dez's team, the Tar Heels, are still in the ACC tournament. The semifinals take place today. But last night, Duke lost to NC State and upset. Duke was a 2 seed in the ACC tournament. NC State was a 10 seed, and they relied on the DJs, DJ Horn, DJ Burns. Peyton, you specialize in college basketball. You and Josh do incredible stuff with everything college basketball. What was your thoughts? Were you surprised that Duke was upset by the Wolfpack last night?
It might be an upset to a lot of people because Duke's obviously was the highest seed in the ACC tournament, but it wasn't an upset to me. I honestly kind of predicted this. Myself and my brother predicted NC State to beat Duke on our podcast, and there's a couple main reasons why. First of all, NC State's on a really good run right now. They're starting to get hot at the right time. We'll see if they can make a run to the ACC title game. That's a wait-and-see approach. But as far as Duke goes, there's a couple reasons why I am completely out on them making a Final Four run this year. And there's, for one, they got inconsistent guards. The guard play, Jaden McLean and Jeremy Roach, they combined for 14 points in this game on 3 of 12 from the field. That's not very good. Also, Jeremy Roach had 3 turnovers. He has not looked great in like a month. He's been very mediocre this past month of the season. And it's not looking good for them. Their guards are very inconsistent. They have no depth whatsoever. I'm not a big fan of Ryan Young being your second best big man coming off the bench. If he's your second best big man coming off the bench, you clearly have issues because he really doesn't add anything valuable to this Duke team. Besides, he's a big guy who can set screens, and that's really it. He's not really that good of a rebounder. He cannot score. You're basically playing 4 and 5 on offense with him on the floor. He's not that great a defender either, especially in the post. I mean, he can wall up some guys in the post, but that's really all he can do. So when he's your second best big man, that's a recipe for disaster for me. And also, the most important reason why I'm completely out with Duke this season, why I think they're going to probably get beat in the first weekend, is because they are soft. S-A-W-F-T, soft. They have no guys who have that killer instinct. And that is crazy coming from a dude who's covered Duke and really watched his program for over like 20 years of my life. And I've never really said that about a Duke team before in my lifetime of watching this program, but they're soft. Every single one of them. Kyle Filipowski, he doesn't like physicality. Anytime they're playing teams who are physical with him, he shies away from that contact. And I don't think they got a lot of talent. I just don't think Duke's very good right now.
I would disagree with that real quick about Filipowski. Filipowski was the reason we were in that game last night. I hated that last foul that occurred. Yes, he did foul him, but you kind of had to with the clock. But I mean, 28 points, 14 rebounds, 3 steals. He didn't shy away from contact. He was backing the defender down in the paint, and he was making shots and keeping Duke in this game. Dez, I know you have thoughts about
Carson. Duke's, you go first. Right, go first, because
okay. You got something to say.
Go.
Well, I agree somewhat with Peyton. I really don't think Duke is much of a threat in March, especially not in April this year. I like their depth a little more than you. I am actually kind of a fan of Ryan Young. I think that he has that dog in him, and the way I love when he jumps on the ground, he gets balls, because that's our problem. We don't have that person who will jump on the ground or jump into the crowd and get loose balls. And Ryan Young has been that person for us. I also just love the leadership that he brings, and he can dissect the game pretty well. So I like that, but there are a lot of things that he can't do. You know, he's not a great rebounder, not a good defender, not a good scorer, but I do think that he's valuable. I love Sean Stewart. I love his defensive prowess. I think that he's not being used right, and that's my biggest problem with this team. I thought I was gonna love John Shire, but I don't. I have not loved John Shire. I think, first off, I don't think that Butch ever should have moved to the two guard. I love Tyree, which is a blink guard, and I really think see why we're running the offense through anybody except for him. I was never a big fan of that move. Flip is soft, and I have been really, really enraged by him. He was the reason in the first half of the UNC game, you saw it. He was just being bullied. He had no heart. And then when he tried to trip Evan Engram, which I'm not going to deny that at all. He did. And it was inexcusable. You know, I think he should have been suspended. But then in the second half, he's best when he is initiating contact, when he's getting to the free throw line, and he doesn't really do that a lot. I don't know why. And we don't have anybody who we can just give the ball to go get a bucket. Flip was supposed to be that guy. Tyrese Proctor was supposed to be that guy, and neither of them have. So, yeah, I don't think that Duke is a real threat.
Real quick, because I know we still have that aged well coming up here before we get out. Everything Peyton and Carson said, for the most part, is right. I said a month or so ago, this is a first weekend Duke team. Like, I know them when I see them. Like, you know it about a month before that this is a team that could possibly lose by second round of the NCAA tournament because of the way they're built. Like, when you watch Duke play, I've watched them probably 7 or 8 times now in full this year, and they're boring. They are a boring team. Like, there's no one on this team where I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see Kyle Filipowski. Like, I can't wait to see Proctor play. Like, none of them give me like an edge of like, that's an alpha. There's no alpha on this team. Like, Filipowski should be the alpha, but he's not. McCain shouldn't be the alpha. He's a freshman. He's not either. When they can't hit threes, they start to panic, and that's what happened last night. And then NC State started to build a lead on them, and Duke didn't know what to do. They don't fight back. They live off the brand, basically. They're living off of what Duke has done in the past because this group has done nothing. They won the ACC tournament last year with most of this team, but other than that, they look like they don't. They look like, actually, I was in a group chat with JP Mundy and Ryan Stone during the game, and we were all like, they look like they're ready for the season to be over. Like, that's how they look on the court tonight against NC State in a matchup where they're trying to secure a 2 seed. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped to 4, like, after what happened last night. You can't lose to NC State in the quarterfinals and consider yourself a national championship contender. I never thought this team had enough gas to get to the Final Four. They don't have rim protection. They're off and on with 3-point shooting. Filipowski wants to be a villain one game and then wants to be the victim the next game. And all the Duke fans, I knew that you guys deep down inside realized this team had little gas left because the last 2 times you guys have lost, you've deflected it to something else other than why you lost the game. With Wake Forest, it was the court storming. With Carolina, it was all about the crowd at the end of the game and what they were doing and how we instigated it and all this other stuff. Forgetting the fact that you lost both these games that you should have won. And with Carolina, you let all of 15 seconds in both games combined. You're not a good team. You've won games because you're Duke, but you're not a Duke team, not this year. And it's going to end quick. It's going to end quick and painless next weekend, probably on Sunday. They're going to lose to a 9 seed or whatever. And they're all going to pack up and go home and half this team's going to leave. And I'll leave you with this. You know why this is probably happening? Because the entire Duke fan base decided they were going to cheer on the next group of recruits that were coming in next year and didn't think about the fact that these kids that are here right now are watching you guys cheer on these kids that aren't even here yet. Like, the season's still going on, and y'all all just went over, ooh, look at all these new guys we're getting. You did the same thing to the freshmen that are here right now last year.
Well, we've done that all the time. That's like a very normal thing for us. We always look towards recruiting, so I really don't think that has anything to do with
this. This was from the university too, like cheering on this new class coming in and how great John Shire was at recruiting and all this other stuff. And the team is still playing. Like, these are 18-19-year-old kids, and you're basically saying we're pushing you out of here in like a couple of months because we got some new kids coming in. How do you think they're going to react? You saw it. You saw it last night.
It's okay to be excited for the future. And I was excited with a lot of this team coming back because, you know, usually with a Duke team for the last decade or so, they've been freshmen, but you got Mitchell back, you got Filipowski back, you got Proctor back, you got Jeremy Roach, who's a senior. Like, how many times do we get to see that for Duke? It was disappointing last night, but the reason that, you know, Duke may not win anything in the NCAA tournament is because we saw NC State with like fifth year seniors. And those are the teams you usually meet up with in the NCAA tournament, is you get these teams who get in, they've built a team, they've been there for a while, they have all that chemistry, and then it doesn't work out for the team that's like built with all the power up top and all the
Duke hasn't realized yet college basketball changed after COVID. Like Duke is still in 2016 where you can get five freshmen and have a little run and ship them out and bring in five more the next year. After COVID, with the COVID year being added, with NIL being added, and with the transfer portal being added, it shifted back to the older teams being the best teams. If you look at the teams that have won the national championship the past couple of years or have gotten there, they've been the older teams. Even Carolina in 2017 was an older team. So it was already starting, but COVID pushed it all the way. And when you do this segment here in a bit about the tournament, I'll bet you the ones that we pick are going to probably be the older teams.
Last point I wanted to make about Duke is Tyrese Proctor has been extremely disappointing this season for me. Last season, his first year, he's looked really, really good. He's one of the best freshmen in the country last year in his first season. Second season, he had a lot of expectations. He has not lived up to those expectations at all. He's had a couple good games throughout this season, but he looks completely lost out there. Like, it looks like he's not even wanting to play, like he just wants to get to the NBA. And that's just my personal opinion on it. I still think he's a really good player. And if he plays to his expectations, Duke can still potentially make a run to the Sweet 16. But if he doesn't play well and they're inconsistent guards and the fact that they're just soft, I see Duke getting beat in the first weekend.
They're one of the youngest teams in the whole country. And it's going to show. Like, it really is going to show. Duke is literally, I think they might be the youngest team in the country in D1. So it's going to be over soon, Mike. It's going to be over soon.
But we still have sophomores. And by the way, Carson, you're supposed to be a Duke guy. That's why I invited you on the panel.
He's real. Like, he understands the situation in front of him.
I think Duke will make it to the Sweet 16. I think that they'll get at least to the Sweet 16. I don't think they'll get anywhere further than that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're Duke, you know. Duke is never the underdog.
Everybody brings their A game against Duke just because that's the brand. Yes. The same with the Dallas Cowboys. I have to deal with that, you know, every week. Like, no matter who's on the team, no matter who's on the 53-man roster for Dallas, like, you play the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to bring your A game.
It's so true.
That's the same for Duke. And I'm hoping, you know, we just ride this and the wheels fall off after the national championship game and we're hoisting a trophy. But I'm super optimistic with that.
Can you imagine if this team runs to UConn or Houston? Or us again? They're going to blitz by 30. Like,
it really is true, though, Mike. Everybody, and it seems like an excuse, but Duke has a harder schedule than anybody else every single year because – the target on their back is just so much bigger than everybody else.
Who did you play?
Everybody. No. It doesn't matter who we play, though. Every single team gets ready for Duke the entire year. They don't.
You think they don't do that for Carolina?
Yes, I don't think they do that for Carolina. Duke has a bigger target on their back than everybody else.
That's how Clemson can come into the Dean Dome and beat Carolina. Yes, they do. They come into Carolina every year. That's their Super Bowl too. Carolina is a blue blood, just like Duke is. If not, we've been blue bloods longer. Like, Duke's template is built off of what we did. So, I mean, you're not the only
one. UNC's not a villain like Duke is portrayed to be.
There's different reasons why they want to beat them. They want to beat Carolina because it's Carolina. They want to beat Duke because they like seeing Duke lose. Like, the nation doesn't like Duke unless you're a Duke fan. But people are indifferent pretty much towards Carolina. Like, it's almost like Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA, they're all in the same boat. People hate Duke. Like, they hate your fan base. They hate your coach. They hate your little campus. They hate the little nicknames you guys have for the players. They hate these little social media videos you put out. They hate all of it. Like, they don't like you. They don't like Duke. You're the most annoying when you win. Like, that's where all this vitriol comes from. This has been 20, 30 plus years of built up vitriol from Coach K and what he was doing. And now Shire's catching strays. And Peyton, what you said earlier, I'm in the same boat. John Shire's getting outcoached, man. There's some of these games this year. He just got completely outcoached. Hubert outcoached him twice.
Yeah.
Kevin Keats outcoached him last night. Like, he's a great recruiter, but is he a great coach?
that could be. He's got to do stuff in March to solidify that. We do understand you guys are on your lunch break, and thank you for joining us this week live during your lunch break. But before we go out for the weekend, it's Selection Sunday, and I wanted to bring up the segment that aged well. I want to ask the panelists to quickly list off who are your one seeds for Selection Sunday. There's four in each bracket, each region. Peyton, what's your four one seeds?
So my top three one seeds are set in stone: Houston, UConn, and Purdue. They're going to be that 100% a one seed. It doesn't matter. They locked that up at the end of the regular season. It didn't matter if they didn't even win a game in their respective conference tournaments. They already locked those one seeds up. The final one seed, it's either going to go to Carolina, Arizona, or Tennessee. I'm out on Arizona. I don't think, even if they win the Pac-12 tournament, I don't think they deserve a one seed. They haven't earned it enough, and they really haven't been playing that great this last month and a half. So it goes down to Tennessee and Carolina for me. Even though Carolina beat them early in the season and the metrics are pretty close, I think Tennessee is going to get it, because if Tennessee wins the SEC championship, and especially if they beat Kentucky in the final like I think they're going to do, that's two wins over Kentucky, one of them being at Rupp Arena, and I think that's a better win than anything Carolina has done all season long. And the one thing that's going to hurt Carolina's resume for one seed is the ACC has not been good this year. It's towards the bottom half of the Power of Six conferences this season. That's going to hurt the metrics a little bit some, so I think Tennessee's going to get the final one seed.
Carson, what's your one seed?
I am taking Purdue, I'm taking UConn, I'm taking Houston, and I'm taking UNC. I love UNC this year. I think that they're deep. I think that they play together. I think Hubert Davis has been incredible. And yeah, I would take them to be the fourth one seed. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they hoisted the trophy at the end of it.
All right, Des.
I've got one seed. Similar. Houston's a lock for one. UConn's a lock for one. Purdue's a lock for one. And then I've been going back and forth between Carolina and Tennessee. I had Arizona in there too, but I feel like they're going to be the number one, two seed when the weekend's over with. With Carolina and Tennessee, Carolina beat Tennessee. They beat the brakes off of Tennessee earlier this year, put 50 on them and a half in the Dean Dome, which you just don't do to a Rick Barnes team. I feel like this year the committee is going to take more into account than just the net from what I'm hearing. They're going to use some other things too to kind of figure this out and put a little more of a human element to it. And honestly, if you look over the past 2 weeks, out of those teams I just named, who's playing the best basketball right now? Like, out of all of them, it's Houston and Carolina. Like, they're playing the best ball in the country right now. If Carolina gets to ACC final Saturday night, I think they're going to get the one seed. If they win Saturday night, then I think it's a lock. And not only did they get the one seed, but they'll get a favorable region as well. And they should start off in Charlotte. And when they start off in Charlotte, things typically go pretty well for the Heels. So I would think it's going to be those four. And just a little side thing, watch them put Arizona either in the region with Carolina so they can meet in the regional final, or somewhere close by so they can meet in the final four. Because I think they want Carolina versus Arizona for ratings. It writes itself. RJ Davis taking on Caleb Love taking on his old school, blah, 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 blah. So watch out for that and see if they don't put them somewhere close to each other, if not in the same region, but on the same side of the bracket.
I completely agree with Dez. I think my one seeds are Purdue, UConn, Houston. I'm actually back and forth between UNC and Arizona. And I feel like if UNC doesn't win the ACC tournament, they'll give it to Arizona. If UNC does win the ACC tournament, they'll give the one seed to UNC. But we'll get set up for a potential matchup between UNC, Arizona, and I will not be happy with whoever wins on that one. So this has been.
Hold on, wait, yeah. Quick shout out to the girls too, because I'm actually going to make a point to watch the women's tournament this year. And if they do it right, if the committee does it right, they need to have Iowa in one bracket, South Carolina in one bracket, LSU in one bracket, and then I don't know whoever in the fourth bracket, just so they're separate until they can get to the final four. Because I want to see either Iowa versus LSU, or I want to see a rematch of LSU versus South Carolina, or Iowa versus South Carolina. Like, I'm really in. I'm into it this year. So just shout out to the girls. I love watching them play. And this year, honestly, they've been, to me, a bigger draw than the guys' game has in terms of stars.
Absolutely.
They have. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
100%.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, especially with Caitlin Clark doing some of the work she's doing.
That girl's a problem. Yeah.
Incredible.
She's a serious incredible problem.
But yeah, you see our comments popping up. Shan, you know, shouting out the women's basketball as well. Josh saying Kentucky would love a word about that. You can go catch Josh and Peyton, all the stuff they do with Everything College Basketball. And yeah, if you miss any Out of Pocket episodes this week, you can catch them all on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe. We'll also be placing something in the TGI Friday lineup later this afternoon. Thanks to producer Desmond Johnson, kind of putting some beloved segments together from this past week. But for Michael Davis, Peyton Burton, Carson Williams, and producer Desmond Johnson, this has been Out of Pocket. We hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, live, talking about the Selection Sunday.